Thank God for Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for your living word. And we thank you, God, that you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son, so that whosoever will would be able to enter into the kingdom of God simply by believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouths that Jesus is the Lord, that he is the Savior. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, that you promised to never leave nor forsake, and you've made good on that word. And you will forever because you do not change. We thank you, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, God, we glory in that. We rest in that. We bask in that. Father, we thank you for your living word today. God, your word is alive, and if we receive it as you give it to us, then we will live. Oh, God, I just thank you that you only want the best for those that are yours. You only want the best. That's why you created us in your likeness and your image. Oh, God, because that is bestest. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. And in Jesus, you are making us again as it seems good to you. Hallelujah. And it is good that we be whole, that we be complete, that we be healed, that we be delivered, that we have peace. Oh, God, that the brokenness would be healed in us. That's your best for us, God, that we would be without sin, that we would be without bitterness, that we would be without unforgiveness. Your best is that we would be whole, that we would be complete. And so you speak your word to us and your Holy Spirit ministers to us until we are changed. Dear God, in this place today, help us. Help us to hear you. Help us to receive you. All that you speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so last week we started with this verse in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. And we're going to go back and we're going to start there again, where the apostle writes to us by the Holy Spirit. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And we focused on continue in prayer. And as I was looking at what God said to us when he said to continue in prayer, he said to be earnest in prayer. He said to be real, to be honest in prayer. He also said to persevere, be constantly diligent in prayer, be strong, firm and unwavering in prayer. Press beyond the hindrances. Press beyond the doubts. Press beyond the fears. And enter into that place where we will be in fellowship with the Father. Where we will be speaking with and talking to and communing with the Father. Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray. Men ought always to call on God. Men ought always to pray and not faint or lose heart. God said we should never give up in prayer. We should always be believing in prayer. We should always be trusting him in prayer. We should always believe that God wants us to pray. We should always believe that the Lord wants us to enter into that place where we are talking with him. Remember, Jesus is standing at the door in the book of Revelation, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if you will open up to me, I will come in and I will sup with you. Think about that. The Lord comes after us. He's not telling us to come after him. He's telling us to respond to him coming after us. When we needed a savior, we didn't ask for one. God just sent us one. I don't know about you, but I love the way God has rescued me and is changing me. So prayer is not you trying to get to God, but it's you responding to the God who's knocking on the door. God said, I want to talk with you. I want to interact with you. I want to share my heart with you. Remember, when we were created, God breathed in us the breath of life. He shared him with us. God says, you are partakers of my divine nature. People, we need to think about that stuff. You know, we need to just stop. I'm a partaker of the divine nature of Almighty God. Oh, that's something going on there. So God said, I want to talk to you about things like, I want to show you what it means that you're a partaker of my divine nature. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Be persistent in prayer. Now, does that mean that we're walking around all day, every day, and just talking to God? What it really means is that we're open to him all day. It means that whatever I'm going through all day, I'm aware that God is my counselor during the day. I'm aware that all of my instruction and my direction for moving through life comes from him during the day. He says, pray without ceasing. That means that I'm always aware that God is right here, ready to talk, ready to show me the way, ready to instruct me where I don't know, ready to help me out of trouble when my back's against the wall. In Isaiah 40, God says to Israel, I love the part where I'm going to go over and read it. I was going to just quote from it, but I want to read something here that God says in Isaiah 40 that I just love, because God says to, when he's talking to Israel and he's declaring to them that their troubles and the punishment for those troubles, God say it's over. He said, I want you to speak to Israel and then tell them that I see them, I know them, and I have the best for them. And then he tells them who he is, that he is God, and there's none beside him. And God lets them know that no amount of trouble that comes their way will ever be greater than the God that is theirs. There's no challenge in life that will ever be greater than God. There will never be a challenge in life, your life, that God does not have the answer for. Mm-hmm. You've been working and trying to figure it out. And God said, if you just ask me, it's so simple. It's just simple. God said, if you ask me, and then it's like, why didn't I do it? I told y'all about the time I lost my glasses. I was in trouble. I couldn't find them anywhere. And I'm going through the house. I'm going through every place that I'd gone that morning, tossing the bed covers, looking under the bed, in the kitchen, downstairs in the family room. Can't find these glasses. Frustrated, in tears. When I get frustrated, I cry. I'm frustrated. I'm in tears. Finally, I go in my bedroom and I sit on the side of my bed. And I'm sitting on the side of my bed, and here's my dresser and here's my mirror there. And I said, Lord, please help me find my glasses. And I didn't see them until I prayed. They were on my face. They weren't up here. They were on my face. I was using them to look for them. Right there, ready to serve me, my glasses. I pray, Lord, help me find my glasses. I'm looking through them. Can see. Oh, how many times? Israel, he said, behold, I am God. Behold, I am here for you. Behold my greatness. Behold my care for you. And then this is the part I want to read. Oh, if I get to Isaiah 40, I will. Okay. Here it is. Okay. forgot this was the New Bible. In verse 27, he says, no, I'm going to do verse 26. He said, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. God said, the stars are not falling out of the sky because of me. The moon is not, is staying in place. The sun is coming up every morning. The moon coming up every night after the sun goes down because of me. The springtime is coming because of me, not because of you. And it's happening in spite of everything that we do. What God has commanded to take place is taking place, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. God said, you need to see that my word is faithful, that my word is powerful, that I uphold everything by the power of my word. Why wouldn't you come to me when you're down and out? I can pick you up and lift your head up quicker than you can even say, Lord. You can think it, and I will answer before you call. Why wouldn't you persist in prayer? Why wouldn't we pray without ceasing? And then he says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? He said, Jacob, how can you say that? Jacob, when you were on the run for your life because you had done wrong, I met you at that place. And it was at that place that I revealed to you that I'm God. It was at that place that I revealed to you that I'm God with you forever. It was at that place that I told you that your seed would be so multiplied on the face of the earth, my God, that every family, what's your family name? What's your family name? What's your family name? What's your family name? Every family. Every family. Did I hear Wells in here? Did I hear Rodman in here? Okay, go ahead. What's your family name? He said, every family in you would be blessed. So if I promised you that your seed would multiply beyond the stars, uncountable, beyond the sand, uncountable, and that every family in the earth will be blessed in you, how can you say now, because you have this one trouble? God said, if you just talk to me, if you just remember the things that I've said to you. He said, Jacob, how can you say that? When you met me for real, when you were clowning big time, you found out that I had a purpose for your life. You found out I had a plan for your life. You found out that you had never been alone. You found out that I had always been there. Because when Jacob woke up, he said, I believe somebody's in this place that I had known before. I translated it to our language today. But Jacob said, the Lord's been there all the time and I didn't know it. Come on, church. There are times that we just don't know God's been there all the time. David said, I cried from a horrible pit. From the miry clay he picked me up. Because I called upon him. Because I prayed to him. God said, how can you say I don't see you? How can you say I don't know what's going on with you? I don't believe y'all understand that in here today. He said, why would you say that you're hidden from me? I can't see you. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God? Now, I love the word everlasting. I have to stop at everlasting because everlasting means before time. Everlasting means in time. Everlasting means beyond time. So the God who has no start and the God who has no end. Because he is the start. And he is the end. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He is the start. He is the finish. He said, He said, the everlasting God, the God who is and always has been, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. God said, you can't even begin to understand what I understand about you. You can't even comprehend how I know you. You can't even comprehend how I know what you need before you even say what you need. You can't even comprehend that I know better than you what you need. You think you need this, and God said, and I know this needs to be done. That's why when David cried out to God in Psalm 51, he didn't cry about what he had done. He prayed about what had caused him to do it, because he knew that only God knew what was so wrong with him, and only God could fix what was so wrong with him. See, God knows the real deal with you. He knows the real deal with me. We just know how things make us feel, and we just know how things look to us. But if we would look beyond these things and look at God himself, Lord, God said, call me and I will answer. Call me and I will answer. Call me and I will answer. Don't call your neighbor. Don't call your girlfriend. Neighbor and girlfriend got their problems. Call me and I will answer. Persevere. Press. Beyond where you are. Boy, I'm finding something out about walking in the Spirit that is so powerful. It's like when I started, I had to preach Friday night. And when I did, I had to study on the sanctification of the Spirit. And as I did, I realized, honey child, if we'll walk in the Spirit, if we'll obey God, everything that was wrong and everything that is wrong gonna be fixed while you obeying what he said. Yeah. When God says you were born of the Spirit and you can walk in the Spirit, he means with your broken heart, you can walk in the Spirit. With your unforgiven self, you can go ahead and walk in the Spirit. And while you obey the Holy Ghost, that forgiveness, that unforgiveness will leave your heart and you won't even know when it left. We just baby walking. See, the milk of the word soothes the soul, but the meat of the word purges the soul. The basic principles of Christianity, the simple things of Christianity, those things soothe your soul and make you know you're glad you've been rescued. But the meat of the word will cause you to walk in your rescue, will cause you to walk according to what God said. And we just want to be pampered. I'm sick of being pampered. And in here, we're going to grow up. We're going to grow up. You're going to grow up or you're going to fall out. Paul said, and God will let you know which. He said, you'll either mature or you won't, and God will let you know which it is. All right, that's another subject for another day. And so God says, and so listen, he says, I'm going to finish reading this. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord. Those who look for, expect God, put their hope and their trust in God, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Notice he said, if you'll believe me, if you'll expect me, if you'll look for me. And see, we need to look for God in every situation. Every situation, we need to look for God. We need to expect that, because, you know why? Because God promised the believer. God promised those that are his, that he would always be with them. God is not going to let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. Can you hear what I'm saying? So when we're in the hard place, when we're in the uncertain place, what should we do? Call on God. Not, oh me, oh my, but oh God, will you help? Lord, I need you. Let's look at a situation that King Jehoshaphat had, or Jehoshaphat, whatever you want to call him. He's a Jehoshaphat. Fat. I don't. He wanted those Hebrew names. He and the army of the living God, he and the people of God, I should say, are in trouble because armies have gathered around them. Armies have decided that they're going to take them out. But here's the deal. God has promised the children of Israel, if you'll walk in the lands and the places that I have given you, none will be able to ever stand before you. Think about that. Jesus said to the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. That's the same thing. In other words, you don't lose, you win. You don't lose, you win. Every battle, not some, every battle. When I walk where Jesus leads me, when I do what Jesus said, that needs to be your mindset, then I win. Now, I didn't say that it was not going to be a fight. Fight of faith. Do you really think that Satan is sitting around saying, here she comes, I guess I'll run. He fought Jesus. He'll fight you. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's having to press past his flesh in order to obey the will of God. Jesus said the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. So it is not that your spirit is not willing to talk with God. It's not that your spirit is not willing to persevere. Your body don't want to. In the morning, 5:30 prayer, Transforming Word Church prayer line. Pastor Ivy says, after her exhortation, if someone would begin prayer, please, the rest of us will mute ourselves. This is called what happens when she says it. Everybody stays muted. Just waiting, not to be first. Waiting to see if I can scoot by and not pray today. I ain't taking it back. Maybe one of those big mouths that always pray or pray. Some people go back to sleep. When you don't feel like it, that's when you need to do it. That's when we need to persevere. That's why he said persevere. Persevere not because God is holding back, but persevere because we need to. I meant to mention this, the parable in Luke chapter 18, where the widow comes to the unjust judge and she keeps coming after him and coming after him and coming after him. And he refuses and he refuses until he says, this woman is wearing me out. I had better do what she's asking me to do. God says, how much more will God, who is just, hear from us, his children, his elect ones, the called out ones, the church? How much more will God hear us and do the things that we're asking him to do if an unjust judge who does not regard God at all, if a sinner who does not regard God at all will break down and give the widow what she needs? How much more will I do for you when you call on me? God is saying, listen, I want to. Don't think I don't want to, because I do. I want it for you more than you want it for yourself. So he says, Don't grow faint. Don't be discouraged when it doesn't happen right away. Some things are not coming right away. Some things it's not time for them to happen. Did you know that? There's order for the kingdom of God, and there's order for your life. There's some things you can handle right now, and there's some things you're going to be able to handle later. And then there's some things God's going to do right now. And if we understand his heart, we won't think he's holding out on me. We won't look at somebody else and say, well, God answered their prayer. You need to stop looking at somebody else and be concerned about yourself. When Jesus is talking to Peter about feeding his sheep and telling Peter what he needs to do, Peter said, what about John? He said, what's that to you? What does that have to do with you? That's not your business. That's not your business. You need to pay attention to what I'm saying to you. Stay in your own field. Okay. And so I want you to see a situation here that is dire. And what Jehoshaphat does and the children of Israel and the things that they say, the things that they pray. Because when he comes to God, he's not tiptoeing. He's coming to God and he's saying back to God the things that God has promised. And see, it's okay to pray the promises of God. God, you promised me that you wouldn't leave me. God, you promised me that you would never forsake me. God, you said that you're my refuge. You said that you're my strength. God, you told me when you get the doctor's report, God, you said I'm the healed, that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. God, you said that you would provide for me. God, you told me that if I would pay my tithe, that you would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that I cannot contain. You said that if I would walk in obedience, then there were blessings for that obedience. God has blessings for all of our obedience. And so Jehoshaphat prays that way. Verse 1, chapter 20, 2 Chronicles. It came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, he was scared, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You know, there are some things that are scary. You need to admit that it's scary. Some people won't say I'm scared and they are scared. Some people won't say they're sick and they are sick. Some people won't say they're weak and they are weak. You won't be honest. You won't be real. God saw you sick. Say you're sick. Confess it and give it to God. Father, I can't handle this diabetes. Father, I can't handle this high blood pressure. God, I can't handle this cancer. God, I can't handle this arthritis. God, this headache is driving me. God, I need you. Say it. It is what it is. But God is going to change it. Because it is what it is doesn't mean it has to stay that way. That's not a bad confession. It's just what's happening right now. If you're broke, you're broke. People act like they got money and ain't got a dime. Ain't got a dime. And you trying, because you say you gotta appear a certain way. You're out here buying clothes you can't afford. Buying cars you can't afford. I was coming out the radio station one day. That was when I had my first Malibu. And it had been hail damaged. And I mean, it was beat up. And so I had finished my recording. And the young man who was the producer of the program, he said, I'm going to walk you out, Sister Wells. I said, okay. And so he walks out with me. And so there's a Mercedes sitting here, a BMW sitting here. And then here's my Chevy Malibu that's been hail damaged. He walked past my car. I stopped at my car. Because preacher lady should be driving something else. She got to be driving this Mercedes or this BMW. She got to be. I stopped at my Malibu. You should have seen his face. You should have seen that boy's face. I didn't have Mercedes money. I didn't have BMW money. Then you got to buy tires for them things, get the oil change in them things. I ain't got that. I didn't have it. And so his face was, he said, oh, this your car? It sure is. Thank you. Got on in my car and laughed my head off. Because he did not understand why I stopped at that car. Then I was driving. I had bought my 2016. I just bought my car. And I'm driving with a friend. And she said to me, she's just looking ahead, Carolyn, you've got to buy a car. I said, girl, I just bought a car. She said, I'm talking about a real car. I said, my car take me any place this car take you. And it's going to get me there cheaper. She said, at our age, we should be driving other cars. I said, when you get through, I'm keeping my Malibu. She was so disgusted with me. And sometimes when she be talking, I be going, girl, that's me you talking about, and I know it, but I don't pay no attention. You are where you are. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that God can't give you the BMW. Yeah. I'm not saying he can't give you the BMW. I'm not saying he can't give you the Mercedes. I'm not saying he can't give you that new Genesis thing. Because this show is fine. I'm not saying he can't give you that fine car, because this show is fine. Every time I drive up next to one, I be going, look at her. I'm not saying he can't give it to you. But what I'm saying is be real and be where you are. And if God's going to increase, he'll do it from that place. He'll do the healing from where you are. He can heal the cancer, even if it's stage 4. We've seen it. We've seen the stage 4. We saw Lolette's kidneys die. And they put her on dialysis. And one day they said, you don't need this anymore. On Wednesday, they told me that my brother-in-law was in stage 4 cancer. That the cancer was everywhere in his body. And he only had a few months to live. On Friday, they came in his room at 7:30 and said, we don't know. Because it's all gone. What am I saying? It doesn't care how afraid you are. Or how dire the situation is. You can take it to God. And he will handle it. Say he'll handle it. He will handle it. I don't hear you. He will handle it. It's not over because they say it's over. It's only over when God says so. You'll not take one less breath than God has seen. Hallelujah. So he was scared. Say he was scared. And I've been scared too. Let's read. Hallelujah. And so Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to do what? To seek the Lord. and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? He's praying what God said to them in Joshua chapter 1. Come on here. God told them no matter where they go, if they walk in where he told them to go, nobody would be able to stand before them. Church, we better hear God today. We better hear God today, and we need to press out of our inhibitions into the presence of God. Press out of our whole back into the presence of God. We need to press into that place where I believe God more than I believe my trouble. I believe God more than I believe what I'm going through. I believe God more than what I feel. I believe God more than what you say. And not... Art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land? Didn't you drive them out? You drove them out. You said when you drove them out, they couldn't take it back. You drove before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. Did you not give it to us forever? And these people are trying to come and take it. Listen to his prayer. He said, God, you gave us this forever. Jesus, you said the gates of hell will not prevail against me. I'm your church. God, you said that my seed would be saved. You said that my children would walk with you. You said, if I would teach them right, then you would, the word that I give them, Lord God, would guide them right. And they would not depart from that word. Oh, they may act like they're going somewhere else, but there are limits and there's boundaries on what these children can do once they've been taught and trained the things of God. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not throwing the towel in. I heard what you said. I heard what you said, Lord. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, or as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, here we are, God. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. I can't do this without you, God. This great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up on you. Did you hear his prayer? He reminded God of his promises. It's all right to speak the promises of God in prayer. Find you a place to sit down when you're in despair and say, God, here I am. I had a little corner in the house where I used to live. And when things got really tough, and sometimes they got so tough, I couldn't breathe. They got so tough one time I wanted to die. I asked God to kill me. I had this little corner in my house, and I went and I would sit in that corner and I would say, Lord, help. I didn't know anything else to say. I didn't know anything else to pray. And God would just start bringing scripture to me. He would start bringing the word to me. He would start bringing a word that would save me from that place of despair, that place of hopelessness. When you pray and ask God to kill you, that's hopelessness. That's not being able to see beyond the problem. That's seeing the problem bigger than life. That I want to die. Now, I wasn't going to kill me. I need to say that. But I was asking God to kill me. And instead, he gave me his word. Instead, he spoke his word to me. God said, I want you to talk to me. Do like Jehoshaphat. Even if you have to say, remember, we know God didn't forget. But put him in remembrance of his word. He can't forget. But you say it. Why? It's for your benefit. Yeah. God doesn't need me to say his word for him. He needs me to say it so I'll get it. I remember sitting in the back of a church one time and I asked God, I said, why do we praise you? He said, it's for you. It's not for me. God knows who he is. He's not struggling with he's great. He's not struggling with he's wonderful. He's not struggling with he's almighty, all knowing, all powerful. He is not struggling. He said, I sit on the circle of the earth. I got this. But we need to see that he's got it. Come on, church. If y'all will go with me, I'll be through here in a minute. God wants us to see. That's why he said, pray, persevere, persist. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. Because when we do, we'll be in touch with his heart and his mind that's already set. That is already set toward us. Already set to do what needs to be done. God's not going to have to work it up. He's not going to have to figure it out. It's already figured out. It's already figured out. And so then God sent them a prophet. And then the prophet told them what to do. Verse 15. He said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Don't let the size of the problem slow you down. Don't let the size of the problem back you down. God said, you don't have to worry about this. I got it. He said, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruah. God's got a strategy for you. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And here's what happened. They went out singing and praising God, and God beat the enemy up. While you singing, God's fighting. While you're praising him, while you're worshiping him, God is destroying those that are before you. Because God has promised that none will stand before you. Nothing can overtake you when you're believing God and trusting him. Nothing can take you out. Nothing can take you down because you believe God. And while your heart is in union with God, God's taking care of the enemy. Have you ever started singing a song and at the end of the song you felt better? God got rid of the oppression. He got rid of the fear. He got rid of the thing that was trying to take your mind. There's nothing like just getting you a song. That's why I'm just loving that song, Hard Fought Hallelujah. That boy say, I don't always feel like raising my hands, but that's when I need to do it most. I don't always want to sing a song, but that's when I need to do it most. It's when you don't feel like it. It's when you feel like you can't. That's when you should. Huh? God said, you don't have to fight this battle. I'm going to fight the battle. You just believe me. Come on, church of the living God. Be the church of the living God. Amen. God said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Be earnest. Be honest. Be persistent. Persevere. Don't lose heart. Make your life a life of prayer. Be increasing and persistent in your place. When you're in the hard place, trust God. When you're in the painful place, trust God. When you're in the uncertain place, trust God. When you're scared and your knees are knocking, trust God. When your back is up against the wall, talk to God. Because you already know you don't know the way out, remember? You don't know the way out. And he does see everything. He sees what you can't see. He knows what you don't know. Why not talk to him? I'm glad, because God is the smartest one I know. And the smartest one we know want us to acknowledge that he is. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for talking to us again, God, about your greatness. And letting us know, Father, when we feel most insufficient, when we feel like we cannot, when we feel like we're unworthy, when we feel like we should not, when we feel like we're just too scared to move. God, you've told us that we can trust you in those times. And we can talk to you in those times. We can believe you in those times. Will hear us when we call upon you. We cry from horrible pits. We cry from scary places. We cry from broken places. We cry when we feel insignificant. We cry when we feel invisible. We cry, Lord God, and we need your help. When the problem is bigger, when it's more than us, when the report is so dire and so discouraging, we talk to you. And you're always the one who is the joy and the lifter up of our heads. So God, in this place today, I'm asking you to lift up the bowed down head. God, I'm asking you to help that person who feels just kind of tossed about today and driven by things that are so not like you and really not your will, God. I pray for that soul today, Father. God, I pray for that soul that's struggling, Lord God, to get past their own desires and to believe, God, that you have more for them than they even understand. I pray for that person today, Father, who needs to tithe but won't because they feel like they're going to go broke. Father, they're already broke. But, I felt it. That's how I said it. Okay. Father, I just thank you that you're able, Lord God, to turn that situation around. Lord God, and you'll do it so that that person will know, well, this had to be God because I didn't have a way out. I couldn't see a way out. I couldn't borrow my way out. Help Jesus. Help Jesus. Help Jesus. In every situation, even those that I don't know the name and the ones that are not being brought to me, because I know there are things here, Father. There are things that have happened to people that broke them and they don't feel like the pieces will ever be picked up. But you're picking up the pieces every time we believe you, every time we obey you. There is absolutely no word that you've ever spoken concerning us that will fail. You are the everlasting God. And like Jacob, you want us to remember, God. Didn't I save you when you didn't know I was the Savior? Didn't I call you out of darkness when you didn't even know you were in the dark? Didn't I come to you when you didn't even know that I was the one who had been there all the time? Didn't I? So God, help us. Help us in this place today to be real, to be honest. We don't need to talk to each other, but we sure need to talk to you about it. Father, I pray this thing in Jesus' name. And together we say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're in this house and you